Relay, we are here. It's me, Matt Chittum, Lindsey Heim, Peter Bromka, Kafuzi, and Tommy Runs. Today we are going through the track athletes that we are most excited to follow this spring into the summer and the Olympic trials and so on and so forth. We are really excited about this. We each pick two people that we really like. Also, we also touch on Peter wearing his wife's pants to a funeral. That's right. You heard it here first. So listen today on the Relay Podcast. All right, Relay friends, before we get into our episode today, all about track and field, I do want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Like the Wind Magazine. If you listen to this podcast, then you absolutely love running. There's no question about that. And the thing about running content is, you know, you get what you pay for. So if you're only relying on free stuff, sometimes there's going to be a huge hole in what you can be consuming. That's why Like the Wind Magazine is the best place to get long form running content. It's a quarterly magazine with some of the best running artwork around. In addition to that, you're going to get some unbelievable articles that are going to fill the gaps for us people who love long form content. And because it's a magazine, you're not going to be reading this on your phone, because we all know no one reads 10,000 word articles on their phone. You only read 1,000 words and then you put it down. I know you. You know you. And you need to get the magazine. Go head over to likethewindmagazine.com/relay. Also, when you do that, you're going to get a brand new magazine sent to you right away. It might have been a past issue, but you're going to get it right away, which is nice. Two reasons. First of all, because it's a quarterly magazine, the next issue might not come out for another month or two. And when you get that first issue, if you don't like it and you say, you know what, maybe this isn't for me, you can cancel right away and they will refund your money. So go to likethewindmagazine.com/relay today. How was that? Was that a good ad read? We're going to keep this in. Was that any notes on my ad read?
I mean, I was just going to say, like, where do I subscribe, bro? Because, like,
yeah, let's go. Let's go.
I mean,
go.
I didn't even know I needed a magazine, but now I do.
You do. I was going to just add about Like the Wind, because I wanted to bring some color, and I'll aim to bring in some of my favorite stories, just highlighting some of the things I've come across over the years. I feel like in today's world of running, there's so many stories so fast all the time across TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, everywhere. And so, like, why would we need more stories? What I've found is that it's not necessarily like the best stories you've ever heard in your life, because we hear so many things. Because you sit down and take a moment with a long form story that someone has edited and taken a long time to, you know, give you, they tend to stick with me for longer. Like, there's a higher level of stickiness, and I have these like even salient moments. I'll bring in some of my favorites from, like, there was this one that was written by a couple in a long, like, multi-day stage race somewhere in Europe. And it's just like the tension between the, you know, the husband and wife going like through the day and through the night still kind of haunts me. And it just feels so funny to, like, I ended up like taking photos with my phone and texting it to friends, like, you got to check this out. And they're like, dude, send me the link. And I'm like, there is no link. This is a printed magazine. So that was super fun. Things like that. And it's just fun to, it's also super beautiful. So have it out on my coffee table as usual. And then, like a lot of people who subscribe for a while, I put it on the coffee table and then I move it to my stack. I'm looking at it right now, and you sort of keep it as a collector's item.
There you go. All right. So track now is in full effect. We've done all the big time marathon season. Obviously, there's going to be more marathons to come. A lot of local ones, and certainly grandma's in June, which everyone will get really excited for. With that said, track season is here. So we had TrackFest this weekend. We also saw the announcements coming for the Prefontaine Classic, which looks like, as always, it's going to be an absolute banger. So in this episode today, we're going to talk about some of our people that we're really excited to watch. So again, that's the same every year around this time, but it has even more impact because it's an Olympic year. So part of it is not only what we want to see for a specific race, but what it portends for the future. So I'm really excited. Peter, you had a good idea with the head and the heart option. Tell me about that.
Well, I don't know if you know, I'm sort of an emotional running fan. I sort of lean in and let sometimes my heart overtake maybe the most prudent choice. I'm glad I'm not setting too many like betting lines for these races. So when Matt asked us to, you know, who are you? I would say, like, you have more of a sports talk radio perspective, like whose hand is hot, like who would you put your money on? And I know that typically fails me, because I'm like, I'll just go first. I'm like, what about Matthew Centrowitz? What about like a decade ago? And I mean, I will never stop being a super fan. So, like, he's going to be at the trials. There's a chance on a chance. Like, and if I bring him up in a conversation of, like, who's going to do well this year, I look stupid. So I needed to, like, bifurcate a little bit, like, create two paths. I'll be rooting for the previous Olympic champion at the U.S. Olympic trials, but I wouldn't say he's, like, the guy you should put your money on. So that's half of my picks.
Well, I have a question. So what are you looking for, like, in the fall from him? Like, are you looking for him to, like, train in obscurity and just get, like, go, like, Rocky IV style? Like, all of a sudden you just see him on race day, but he's been training somewhere in some remote place getting ready? Or do you want him, like, on the scene competing all the time and kind of getting ready that way?
You mean just in general, like, how we are in – it's late May. It's mid-May. We have, like, the time is ticking. Well, I mean, this is my heart pick. So he really will need to run well at the Prefontaine Classic to even have a chance at going to the Olympics, which is only to say if he only runs mediocre, then I'll be rooting for him even harder at the trials. Because, again, this is my heart pick. I would love to see a fit, healthy Matt Centro is somewhere in the pack moving into the final laps of, I mean, making the final. This, I'm sorry, now I'm hijacking it about a guy who might not even play a role in the trials all that much. What I'm reminded of, though, and we can transition to all of your picks, is the older I get, the more I realize how much track is a young person's game. Like, you really need to put your chips on people who are hot right now and are young, and then maybe put a few more chips on someone who's, like, even, like, hasn't established themselves yet, because that's what makes the trials and the Olympics so exciting, is you're like, wait, that person's 19? So, yeah.
That was an interesting rejoinder to your own pick, where you said, it's a young man's game. Who's hot right now? I'm going with Matt Centrowitz.
That was my heart pick. This is why I'm separating. I think I'm looking at my co-host's faces right now, and they're just like, I'm going to light this guy up with some better picks than that.
I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen in steeplechase since Emma Coburn's injured. Like, I feel like the doors are wide open now. And for so long, that event was just so, like, we knew who was going to be on the team. I saw that Val Constein won the Sound Running Track Fest. And when she made the team last time, the Olympic team, I don't want to say she had a chip on her shoulder, but I feel like she was kind of like, I'm not, like, nobody really expected it. And she was like, when I interviewed her, I felt like she was, I'm better than y'all realize I am, you know, and just because you aren't talking about me. So I think it'll be interesting to see if she makes a second Olympic team, kind of like, hey, I've always been here sort of situation. But then you've got Courtney Waymont as well. And I just think that event is going to be really exciting this year.
Have we talked about Emma's injury on here? I was so sad. I was like, because she got injured not that long ago. So when I saw the reel she made, I was like, oh, maybe this is like a throwback. Oh, shoot. That was a bummer.
It is heartbreaking when you see these injuries, right? Emma, obviously, as we saw, and, you know, it is crushing too when you can actually, like, replay the exact moment when the ankle injury occurs on the water jump. And the other one too is Alicia Monson.
Oh, no. She tore a meniscus?
Like, yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. So she's going to be out. I'm sure there's others too, but those were the two big ones for me that was like, all right, these people are, you know, I think Emma and Alicia were kind of in the zone for me where kind of like Emily Sisson was for the marathon of like, I would be surprised if they didn't make the team.
Yeah. 100%. Wow. That really opens it up for the 10,000. I would love to see Emily Enfeld do really well. Of course, that's my heart choice. I think I just love her so, so, so much. Who else should we talk about with the 10K though? Now that Alicia's not going to be running.
Wayne Kalati.
Oh, of course.
Right. I mean, I guess I don't know for sure if she's going to be running or not, but I would think that she would be with Alicia out, that she would be potentially the next person in line in terms of who's a favorite to win it.
I will say Wayne she often runs really well at some road 10Ks and makes me think like, oh wow, she's going to crush on the track. And then she'll finish. She has, you know, in the past finished like fifth or sixth. And you're like, oh, okay. So it makes me, I sometimes get overly excited about her chances.
And then Rachel Smith. Rachel Smith ran really well at Gate River. Tommy, how about you? Who are you excited about?
Well, I'm excited about Yard.
All right, let's talk about that, because he was one of my picks too. So what gets you like really excited about him this?
I just love like how he runs, is like how effortless it looks, and like the character of which like that he, you know, kind of carries himself in the game. And then we had like, he had that big race against he had a big race where he beat out Jakob right at the line. That was absolutely amazing. And I just feel like he's, whatever they're doing at OACs, I mean, they're doing a good job and pushing each other and really working hard. I saw a YouTube video of him jumping in to pace
Ollie,
right? And he just looks so like chill and just helping his guy through a big workout, you know, a very big workout. And he just was like, and he didn't even have a short sleeve shirt on. He was like, had a little jacket on. It was kind of intense. But I'm just excited to see what he does, because I mean, a lot of people are like talking about like Josh Kerr and Jakob, obviously. But I feel like Yared is just kind of sitting there like, all right, I won't say a thing. And then when I cross the line first, then it is what it is, you know, and I like that about him.
That's exactly what I was thinking, for the same reason of like, you know, all the energy is going to go to these two guys, and then the goose is just going to be there,
yeah,
you know, waiting to pounce. And that's going to be really exciting. And like, is there... I feel like there's not many people in running that are easier to root for than Jared Nagus. Like, he's just such a likable person. Not only that, but he comes across on screen as likable. Like, he's got the smile. He has that casual, like, effortlessness to his demeanor. It's just like, it's just such a great, when you think about like, all right, you have this primary, I don't know, rivalry between Kerr and what in Jakob, and I guess Whiteman obviously is there too. It's not like it's just a two-person race.
True.
Like, but you have this primary rivalry, and then like when you think about like that other person, the fact that he's a quiet guy by nature is like perfect for the situation. You know, he's just gonna skate right through. You know what I mean? Like, I can see him like not even maybe pulling up on one of the prelims, not taking it just to like stay that third person. And then coming out hard, and I'm just so excited for him for sure, Tommy.
Yeah, and I just feel like it's just funny that we'll like all be really excited about it, and then he'll like win the race, break a record, or something like that, and then be super chill, like, yo, bro, like do something, say something, you know. But he seems like a really nice guy, and I'm definitely rooting for him.
I think his situation is really interesting because you've got Jakob who's running his mouth, and Josh Kerr who is running his mouth about how he's not running his mouth. And then you've actually got Jared who's quiet, but he's still in the limelight and he's still showing character. So I feel like all the athletes that are like, I shouldn't have to be an influencer and a pro athlete, should be watching what Jared's doing, take notes and copy it, because we get a sense of his personality. He's in the conversation all the time. He's not hiding, but he's also not running his mouth, and he's letting his running do the talking for him. So I feel like that like lines up with what Tommy's saying and what Matt is saying. It's like he's just so easy to root for, because you could tell there's like a bubbly personality in there, but he's not going to get kind of like mired in some of the ticky-tacky stuff, as much as I enjoy that stuff. But it's kind of funny as that kind of like foil to this other activity that's happening out there. I just feel like he's doing a good job both on and off the track.
And I feel like too, that's a good point though too. And I think it's you know, credit to him obviously too, but I feel like On and or OAC is doing a good job at highlighting what we're seeing in a way that feels really comfortable for him. So he just gets to do his thing, train hard, and then they catch these moments and they share them in a way that's like, oh, okay, we like him. You know, like I don't really, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Like even if you were new to it and you saw him, if you stumbled across that OAC video, you're like, oh, this is cool. You know, I like him. He's nice. And then you'd be surprised like how much of a like assassin he is, you know, on the track. But like, you know, and then because you see, I wanted to name a brand, but you've seen other brands like have a moment where they could really highlight somebody going into the Olympic trials that really should have been, you know, in like the world was, oh, who is this person running up front? You know, not even them. But you know, it's like, why not work with the brand and the team that this person's running on to highlight it in a way that allows them to keep pushing, allows them to keep getting faster and not have to focus on, you know, holding the camera, you know, mile one, mile two, mile three. You know, you don't have to do that, but like how do you work with the brand to highlight who you are that will connect with other people?
And I love the dichotomy that Jared has where – you can't be at that level of an athlete in any sport and not be a killer, mm-hmm. right? But his persona just isn't that. But it doesn't mean he isn't. It just right. it's just the you don't get the visual confirmation of that sort of mentality, which I love that dichotomy that's there. Cause like he's no less intense than any of these other guys. Like not even like one, like there's not even a hair's breadth of difference in competitiveness between him and these other guys. He just doesn't say it. And his demeanor isn't that either. And maybe just part of that is just like his just natural expression, right? Like he doesn't have the running version of like resting bitch face. Right. Like yeah. he just doesn't have that. He's just always smiling and happy, but he is out there ready to crush, which I think is a really cool thing too.
Yeah. I mean, he's not afraid to lead, in a race and he'll grind it out. I mean, I might say that he has probably more grit than like a Jakob really, you know, cause every time we've seen him get to this moment where he had to like, grind it out, but not leading the race, not like on like feeling 100%. He hasn't normally like shown up in that moment.
That's why that quote was so bad. He's like, if I'm healthy, yeah. I'm gonna win. It's like, what's with the, you know,
if I'm healthy, you know, I've had
what's
a
with the
day.
Asterisk? Like, you can't be saying that. Like, if you're gonna say that, don't say anything at all.
No, that's stuff that I say. You know, right. Like, what's your goal for Chicago? I mean, if I have a great day, great training block, sleep really well, you know, get all my hydration, you know, and have a perfect day, I think I could run under 2 hours, you know?
Oh, right. If the dew point's 58, right? I don't have to go to the porta potties first. Like, I'm ready to roll.
Tailwind at 50 miles an hour, I'll be good.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, so I was going to pick him too. So I guess I'll pass on that one since you already got him. I have a few that I'm really excited for. I think with this sort of thing, Peter kind of touched on this a little bit. But usually, especially with like rising stars, like people who are going to end up being at the forefront of the sport, it usually comes faster than you think it will, right? So it's usually like you think, all right, this person could be awesome. They have all the talent. They have the pedigree, all this stuff. And then it just happens earlier, right? We're seeing it right now in the NBA with Anthony Edwards. Like, it's not that what he's doing, people didn't foresee for him. They just didn't think it was going to happen this year, right? And I think that we see this sort of thing over and over again, which I'm excited to see what's going to happen with Caitlin Tui for this exact reason. Like, if Caitlin Tui is who we think she can become, then not that now is the time, like if she doesn't do it now, then like her career is somehow going to be worse, because I don't believe that either. But if she can become the generational figure that she is primed to be, now is the time. And you see that over and over again with athletes in this situation where, yes, is it still early in her career? No question about it. Is she going to have many more Olympic cycles to go? I have no doubt. But with the elite of the elite, there is no warm-up. It's just, I'm ready and here I go, right? And then we see this time after time after time. Again, I don't say this to put pressure on her in any way, but I also wouldn't be surprised if she comes out and she lays a smackdown on people that we didn't think she was going to do that to. Or we thought it would be maybe a little bit closer than expected. So I think I kind of put her in that spot. Now, I almost went with Nico Young for the same exact reason. Basically, I viewed her and Nico as kind of like partners in crime in that respect. I'm like, all right, they're kind of in the same spot, so to speak. But I decided to go with Caitlin Tui, I guess for no other reason than I just wanted to.
I love a Lori Hennes interview. That was her coach at NC State, and she's just one of my favorite coaches to kind of follow and watch what she does with her team. And, you know, they won the cross country championships 2 years in a row. So that was really cool.
How she handled like Caitlin's college career was like a masterclass in terms of like getting so much out of Caitlin. Obviously Caitlin played a large role in that, but like also like making it not just about her, the team was stacked. Right. So she was able to like have her own career and it wasn't like all eyes on Caitlin Tui, like, you know, the middle school phenom turned high school phenom, turned college phenom. Right. And I think it was I've never seen it handled so well before in terms of, you know, in an individual sport being so ingratiated into the team aspect.
Yeah. And just like handling it with care as far as not going all crazy her freshman sophomore year so that she can peak her junior senior year, and that she does have stuff left in her tank at the end of her, you know, college career, and then can then be successful as a pro because she's not totally burnt out. Yeah, I think Lori Hennis does it as good as anyone else out there.
Yeah, for sure. Mike, how about you? Who's your first person?
For the Prefontaine Classic, I mean, I think they haven't like announced all the elite like starting lists and stuff yet, but someone I'm very curious to see how they do is Arianne Knighton. Just with all the discussion from the World Relays and from the men's 4x1, the U.S. men's 4x1 discussions happening, I feel like he's been a little bit quiet, and I'm not saying he's hiding or anything, but I just think that's just the way like the races fell on the calendar and races he has or hasn't done. And so I feel like there's been a lot of chatter, and I feel like a race like Prefontaine, he's going to come out and I think he'll have a pretty good day.
Yeah, because his best friend will be there too, right?
I think so. So it should be. I think it's going to be spicy. I think there's going to be a lot of speed on the track that day, and so I just think it's going to be. I mean, it's lining up to basically be like a U.S. track trials plus, and there'll be like those like all the stars that you'll see at track trials are. It looks like they're going to be there, plus some international stars as well. So I mean, like, kudos to whoever's putting that meet together. They're doing a really good job.
Yeah, it's going to be stacked. What, didn't Faith announce this weekend too? She's going to be there. I mean, it's just an unbelievably stacked field.
I was just going to say that who seemed like they've been really quiet is Faith. Faith Kipyegon. Like, for her to be as a phenomenal as she is, like, I don't understand how they go quiet. You know, like, and how they like, where do you go? You know, like, I mean, obviously she's back home probably, but even when, like, you know, we've always seen Elliot has always done a really great job of staying very, you know, staying in front of us all, even though he's so far away and very, like, you know, I mean, he's even far away from his family at that point when he's training. But she, like, literally went ghost. And so it'd be great to see her pop up and see what kind of shape she's in this early.
Right. Yeah. I mean, remember last year, it was like the summer of Faith. It was like every single race was like one banger after another.
Literally. It was her. Like, she literally, it was 2023 summer was hers. For sure. And like,
which is crazy because, like, think about what Safwan Hassan did, and like, Faith overshadowed her
very much so.
We talked about it on the podcast. I remember you specifically asking that question, Matt. Faith or Safwan, who had a better summer?
And it was unanimous. Everyone on the call was like, Faith.
No, I think Mike said Safwan.
I think we said Safwan.
Oh, really?
Two marathon majors and some track. I don't. She didn't come out with any golds on the track at World Champs, but I mean, to come away with medals, I mean, that's range. That's so much range. So I'm
range over greatness.
I'm sure I picked. I'm pretty sure that
range over greatness.
Both things are great.
That's the Brooks ghost pick.
That's not. No, totally not.
homie tied her shoes, and she tied her shoes, did some quad and hamstring stretches. You know, yeah. I think she did some side steps, or whatever those things are called, in the middle of a race and still won.
I mean, I'm going to lean a little bit towards the road marathoners, you know, so I'm like, so that's going to affect my decision a little bit. But I just think that, like, that kind of range is just, I mean, we're comparing two really great summers, so it's not like the other summer was not great. But I mean, I just think that's why I picked that one.
If only they had raced each other and we could decide then. Oh, wait, they did.
They did.
They did race each other.
Yeah.
I love when Tommy comes in with these like one-liners or comments, because I'm like always thinking that's going to be the poll quote from the episode that we're going to put up on Instagram every time. Talking about tying her shoes.
Yeah. I mean, she did. But I mean, I like that they did run against each other. It kind of reminded me, like, it's kind of dark now. But like, I just always, whenever I think about the marathon, I always wish that, like, we saw Kelvin and Kipchoge race each other. Mm. I was, like, so waiting for that for in the Olympics. Because it would have been, I mean, I think I know who would have won. But it was going to be crazy. I don't know
Kelvin,
why.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you can we talk about this now? Not that part, but the Kipchoge side. Do you guys feel like he's gonna win?
No.
That's two no's out of five.
Yes.
I feel like
I love
like,
when Matt Peter. Is so certain.
Oh well, bro.
I'm saying.
Wait, are you
I'm
saying yes, no. Peter?
No, I like when Matt is so certain because of recency bias. He's just like, no.
Okay, but Peter, say yes or no.
Yeah.
You think he's going to win?
Eliud Kipchoge is going to go for the three-peat? Yes.
This is also the guy who said Matt Centrowitz is going
to
win.
Thank you for saying that, Tommy, because I was about to. I'm like, no, Tommy will get there. He'll bring it up.
But you can't skewer me with my own self-deprecation. I was like, hey, check this out. I'm stabbing myself with a Homer
pick. No one makes me bleed my own blood.
Oh, my God. I mean, I feel like I would like for him to win. I'd love who doesn't love a good three-peat, you know? But
is exactly when I would turn off this podcast if I was listening to you sell greatest marathoner of all time.
I mean, no, but I feel like we're going to see a Drake and Kendrick moment in Kipchoge's Drake in this situation.
Oof. Oof.
Did you hear the horrible story about the lead up to Tokyo? Did you follow that?
Sleep.
That was so sad.
He didn't sleep and stuff, yeah.
I don't know. I don't hear empathy in your voice.
That was my empathy voice. What do you want me
really?
To say? What do you want me to do?
Oh, no. I just was, I think many of us were wondering what happened to the greatest marathoner during, you know, the buildup to Tokyo. And
it sounded a little like, you know, I had a little stomach bug right before the race, Jakob Ingebrigtsen style. Sounded a little, he's copping pleas like 17 months later, man. What's going on?
I just loved his quote. I screen grabbed it for eternity as a meme where it just says, like, I don't know where the sleep went, but I didn't get it. And I was like,
I don't know where it went.
I feel that all the time. You're like,
I'm
not sure.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. He literally said, I don't know where it went, but I didn't get it.
That's good.
I'll find a betting line and I will put some money on that because it's easy to bet against Kipchoge right now. He has not performed particularly wonderfully recently, but that's what makes it fun.
This podcast is brought to you by sports betting.
Exactly, right? DraftKings.com. Do the Peter Bromka parlay, Matt Centrowitz, and Eliud Kipchoge. Currently 2,000 to 1.
You so much money.
I think that's generous odds for that. That's...
I love it. So, Peter, the one that I mentioned while you were gone was Caitlin Tui, because point was not to rehash, but it was like, hey, when people are electric talents and they get to the highest level of sport, it usually happens earlier than we expect. And she could potentially be that. So the other one, that conversation was Nico for the same reasons.
I was going to take that same line of thinking and just go all chips on Parker. You're just like, who even knows what Parker Valby could accomplish? And that's where I think it's like, you got to go, if you're going to go, you know, young, just go like total up and coming talent and just be like, I mean, not to bring it back to Matthew Centrowitz, but when he won the trials while still at Oregon, you're just like, I try to remember. I did not head into today thinking I was just going to, you know, reprise the greatest races of his life. But it's fun to, when the college kids make the Olympic team, it's super fun.
Do you think Parker Valby, like whenever she finishes races, she's just like, hey, what's up? Like, she's just like chilling. And there's even that comment where she was like looking over at her friend in the infield, like doing a field event during the race. Do you think when she finishes, like she's trying to act extra casual, or she really probably could have run like 20 seconds faster? Because she's just chilling so much. Because she just looks so like, I didn't just run really freaking hard when she crosses the finish line. She just kind of like walks away.
It's scary. I'm not going to posit on what she's capable of. And that's why I would put my chips on her. Like, I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, when she set the NCAA 5K indoor record and she's like, thanks, everyone.
Yeah, it's like so casual. Just like, yeah, I was like checking out my friend doing the long jump or whatever event her friend was doing.
You guys ever finished a 5K? I'm like, there's the spot of ground I'm gonna crash into, like, and I'm just like, yes.
So. Yeah, it reminds me of like how I try to look when I move something heavy at my house.
Yes.
And try to act like I was no problem at all.
Or
I'm sure I actually look way different, but I'm like, just try to be casual about it. Like, yeah, I just moved the fridge. No problem.
It's like my son's getting bigger, like he's like starting to like kind of test me a little bit more, you know, and so we're like, we're doing like a pushing match in the kitchen, you know, just trying to like move each other, whatever. There's probably the dumbest thing. Like, look like two like rams in the wild or whatever, and I'm trying to make it look like I'm not, you know, exerting myself at all, but like I'm all smiling or whatever, but low key, like I'm digging deep. Like I just, I can't let this kid move me one inch because that moment it's over. Then he runs the household. So that's the moment. You got to fake it until you make it, you know?
This is me yesterday when we played kickball because I have one strength and it is running with my kids athletically. And the way I sprinted across those bases, you would have thought like there was something big on the line. And I will tell you, my hamstrings are screaming at me today. I also have bloody knees because I dove for the ball and we were on like a baseball diamond. Glenn was like, you are working way too hard right now. Like, what are you trying to prove to these kids?
Still got it.
Everything, Glenn. It's all on the line.
It's really about proving it to yourself, really. You know, kids, you know, it's like, you know, I can still do this, you know.
I'm getting to that base before that kickball gets to the base.
That's how people like tear their like hamstrings.
Yes. Like, I know.
Trying to show out. Yeah, the kickball is really where the story was going.
I am kickball's so really sore. Kickball is really a violent sport. I'm telling you, I'm like literally not working out doing anything today because my whole body is sore from kickball.
That's why Lindsay's on the pod today. Normally she's not on the 11:30 recording, but she's just been sitting in this chair all day. She can't get up. She's like, I might as well just get on the podcast since I'm just gonna be sitting here.
How come kickball isn't like a sport? Like, why isn't it organized? Like, it's not.
Know. It is so fun though.
It'd be so fun to watch kickball.
I know. Baseball mixed with dodgeball? It's the best.
Bro, yeah. Are you kidding me? Imagine somebody launching a kickball from like midfield and hitting somebody in the back of the head going to third base. Oh my gosh.
Needs to be an Olympic sport. Yeah, no,
it really should be
an
Olympic sport. Let's start there.
Yeah.
If breakdancing can be an Olympic sport, I mean, geez Louise, like kickball, way more.
Well, I mean, technically like complicated, like they're both about the same level probably. Like they're just both way up there and take some talent to really get it done right, you know?
I think more talent for breakdancing.
Wait, hang on. Is there international participation in kickball? That might be it. Like, I don't know if any other countries really play kickball.
What do you mean? Soccer's like the most popular sport in the world. You don't think you can get some soccer players out here dominating kickball? Because kickball, like, you need a couple things. Like, you need to be super strong, obviously, and fast. But the bigger you are, the bigger target you are. So you can't just have, like, you're like, oh, we got LeBron James on our team. Like, I bet he's great, but he's also enormous. Like, you'd be able to peg that guy pretty easy. He's huge.
I'm saying, though, like, baseball is popular in South Korea. I don't think they're using their baseball fields for big rubber kickball. But maybe I'm wrong. Like, I don't think it's that popular outside of, like,
It's America. It's America because, listen, once you said that, soccer is popular everywhere else, right? And we get our butts kind of kicked in soccer, you know? So it's like, we can't do this again. You know, we can't add another sport where we can only compete in our area, you know?
I love
women's
America
soccer.
Versus America, and we just call ourselves world champions.
Women's soccer is great.
In America is good.
It's the men that need to step it up.
They're really
giving us a bad name. We're really thinking about dropping the American men's team in general.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Well, anyway, I highly recommend texting a bunch of neighbors and being like, kids versus parents, kickball, and just going to town because it was really freaking fun. We ended up not being able to do kids versus parents because there were way too many kids. So we had to evenly distribute the parents on teams. But
this is the most irresponsible idea that I've heard you say ever, I think.
I'm imagining chickens on the field.
Are free ranging the backyard right now. I've been letting the chickens free range a lot. Yeah,
I love how you took your parenting, your parenting style, and just implant and just like overlay that on your chicken mom lifestyle.
They're hind chickens, like they get to roam free.
Everybody roams free at our house.
Everybody's running free around here. I'm the one that's stuck in the chair because of kickball.
Free range parenting, those free range chickens, man, those eggs are gonna be worth like $15 a dozen. What was it? Wow. Nelly's eggs, one of Pete and Jerry's maybe. I was trying to buy some of those eggs at Target the other day. They were like $8.99.
Expensive eggs are tasty. I feel like your chicken eggs are gonna have like crazy things going on because the boys are probably feeding them like now and like, you know, Sour Patch Kids and like they're gonna
like why are these yolks purple?
Yeah, what's going on?
All right. So the next, my next athlete I'm excited to watch. is Nikki Hiltz. So Nikki Hiltz is my favorite person to watch race. Their ability in a race is fantastic, right? They can win leading, coming from behind, back and forth. They just know what they're doing. And it's so much fun. They're an incredible athlete. And the ways in which they have won over the past 2 years is remarkable. It's so much fun. Also, that event is just fun, right? You get like you get 1500. I think I'm discounting the sprints because I think it's just a different comparison, but I think the 1500 is the perfect distance race and the mile is the same in terms of like how long it is, how much of it is just like pure speed with the back and forth strategic side of things. I just think it's just a great event to watch, and they do it as well as anybody. And it's just an absolute pleasure. And they're at the peak of their powers, right? They've just been running so well over the last 18 months. And there's no reason to think that Nikki's not going to continue that over the next couple months. So just from a pure entertainment perspective, Nikki Hiltz would be the person I'm the most excited to watch over the next couple months.
So who are the people so Nikki, Heather McLean, Emily Mackay, Corey McGee, who else are the top dogs here? Who am I missing? You're looking at me funny.
Elsie Pierre.
Elsie Pierre.
Of course.
Is back.
Of course.
Is back.
Anybody else? I mean, obviously there's a ton, but I'm just thinking people that have been on the team before, people that we're seeing. Like Emily Mackay has been up there with Nikki quite a bit recently.
Yeah, like that. What's this rule of who's young and on the uptick that hasn't proven?
Elise Cranny.
Elise in the 15?
I think we have to sell Elise's stock as fast as possible because...
No, but Elise is 5K, 10,000.
Well, she's running the 1500 at Prefontaine.
I bet Elise is just running that as a prepping for the season.
I don't know. With that field, that's a dangerous game to play because that field is absolutely stacked.
Olympian in the 5 and 10. Why would she run the 15 at the trials?
She likes... She likes the 15 the most. No, she wants to be a 1500 meter runner, but she excels at the 5 and 10. So I think she's self-coached at this. No, who's she coached by?
The NAU assistant coach is her coach.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just say she probably has a lot of influence over her racing schedule now. And so she loves the 15. So get after it. Yeah. BTC athletes basically don't get to pick their when they race. And so then she unfortunately didn't race, I don't think, much under Team Boss. And now she gets to do her own thing. So really wishing her well, but I would love to see her crush.
Okay. Well, I'm going to interview her because now I want to know.
Oh,
well, okay. There you go. Solving your own problems.
She's I'll text her right now.
Okay. All right. Elise Kearney messaging now. Carry on, men. Carry on.
All right. So I named two. Tommy, you got another one?
Man. I feel like I had the best one so far, in my opinion. I'm really excited to see just honestly what storylines come out of this season, because I don't even know if we would have thought we would have had so many storylines from last year. You know what I mean? Because it's just stuff started coming up. People just seemed like Yared's gear for us was really last year to me. Like obviously he was around more before, but he had a great push. Even Jakob, obviously he's been around for a minute, and doing really well, but his story elevated because of what he was able to do. Faith is around forever. Obviously she's one of the greatest, but it seemed like her story got bigger. And even Safan, even though she, only came up, second or whatever, and got a couple.
I'm just curious. Do you think Puma is listening to this and they're like, we flew these guys to Jamaica. We thought we could influence the conversation. We thought we could get them yapping about sprints.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay,
I don't know enough about sprints either.
I don't know enough about sprints either. I'm really excited to see Johan Blake go after it. Sharika Jackson is going to do amazing as she always does. Elaine, I can't wait to see it. Just can't. I can't wait to see.
You're allowed
that,
to
that
mention
yellow,
sprinters
green, and black
from other brands too. I'm just curious.
No, only Puma. Are there other sprinters from other brands?
Yeah.
There are. Okay.
How about from a storyline perspective? Is there a coaching storyline perspective? The reason I bring it up is depending on how this spring and summer go, does Dathan Ritzenhain get the mantle for best coach? Right. So it was for a while. Again, hindsight is 2020. For a while, Salazar was like the coach, right? And then it was Jerry Schumacher was the coach, right? And I think right now there's a lot of people who are in the mix, and certainly Dathan's one of them. And I think if depending on how it goes, OAC is just looking so solid and so good at so many different events on the men's and the women's side. I feel like there's so many other coaches. It's not like there's other people who aren't in the mix here. But I do wonder if we're on the precipice of him taking the mantle, which would be so interesting considering how good his career was. And when you think back to Dez's book, remember when he was going to be hired by Brooks to be like the assistant coach? And she like was like, oh, hell no. Right. Coming off of all the Nike stuff, she pushed back like, no, that's not right. That's not right. And I'm not saying that was good or bad, but it was like the start of his coaching career was really muddled in controversy. He stuck with it. And then, shoot, his own daughter is turning out to be potentially one of the next future stars of the sport as well. Again, it's too early, but, like, she's on that same path that Parker Valby was on and, you know, Tui was on, whereas, like, you know, Gatorade Athlete of the Year as a sophomore. I mean, that's insane. So I think it would be interesting if he ends up grabbing the mantle as best coach in the country, which was kind of, in the previous eras, was pretty established.
Is this an award that actually is handed out, or is this a Matt Chittum award?
Tommy hands it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the hander out of the awards.
I would say, yeah, based on the performances his athletes have been producing, for sure. I mean, I don't know who else.
Well, Mike Smith is the obvious, choice as well. Diljit doesn't coach as many athletes, but obviously her.
But are you talking about pro stuff. Or college athletes? Because I know Diljit coaches pros, but like I feel like her bigger focus might be the college athletes.
Well, now there's such a hybrid for so many people as well. Like you can do both. So, you know, even back in the day, like Ray Tracy was coaching Providence College to a national title, but was also coaching Molly Huddle, right, on the track and, you know, and on the roads as well. So I don't think there has to be a separation there, especially with what Diljit's doing with her recent grads, you know, having their own track team as well. I think that is really interesting stuff. So, you know, I think, you know, Mike Smith, what he's doing as NAU's head coach and coaching a number of pros, I think he's certainly in that conversation as well.
It's pretty funny. The like Mike Smith club seems to be, I'm sure there's some process of applying, but it feels like everyone's like, it's not a club. Don't talk about it. It's not a club. Like, and then you just imagine that you show up and they're like, you have to enter through the back. Like it's this whole.
That's
like,
the first rule of the club, is saying it's not a club.
Interesting wrinkle, Matt, about OAC is that they aspire in building the team to not recruit athletes who are from the same country in the same event. So they try not to have teammates racing against each other for national teams.
Smart.
That's interesting. Okay. Wow.
But that's such why?
Matt, tell me more about the skepticism.
It provides more opportunity to get the medals and stuff.
Matt just said this might be the best coach on the best team in the world, and then he's like, I have a bone to pick with their strategy.
Why would he do something dumb like have them all in different events in different countries?
Why would you want them to work together without racing each other in practice?
What if you could have like 5 national records at one time?
Yeah, well, which they did.
I'm just thinking like with Elise Cranny and Carissa Schweitzer, like it's really cool to see teammates make teams together. You know, like they both.
Unacceptable. That's okay. What we just learned. Unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I'm. And just
sorry,
like,
Emma and Courtney, we can't do it anymore.
I'm just thinking,
can't be friends. No.
Like the way that those women trained together and then got to race together and then got to make the team together. Had to be so special. So, I mean, you're
but
not.
But I feel like yeah. Women are mildly, are more reasonable than men are, you know, because I feel like they probably be like, this is amazing. This is great. You know, really appreciate, you know, all that stuff. But like, imagine like Joshua Chip, the guy, like getting beat to like Jacob Kiplimo, like in a race. And he's like, they probably hate each other, like low key. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let's not have that animosity. Let's work together. Let's train. You know, like Yard jumps in and helps Ollie. And if he beats him, which he will, it's okay. Everybody's still happy. I still got my national record. My team, my guy won the gold. We're all good, you know?
So but you're saying that women are better people in general, yes, than men. Okay,
yes,
got it.
Yes, for this purpose, yes.
Unless they're playing kickball with their kids, then the maturity gets completely thrown out the window. I guess, Peter, the reason I brought it up was because it's not as if one person gets to be on the team, right? It's three people. So why not just have more than one? I don't know. That was the reason for my skepticism. If it was like, hey, we only get one miler. All right, that makes sense. But
I just thought I was giving you an interesting wrinkle to add to your superlatives of Dathan, and now you're like, what a loser.
I feel like sometimes they'll have more than one person in the same race, but they're from different countries. So when they make it, when they make teams, they make a different team, but they're in the same
it's
race.
It's just like, I think it's interesting. The common criticism of a college team is it's just like throwing eggs against a wall, and whoever happens to be healthy that season is like All-American, and the kids end up traumatized and feeling like, wow, I don't even know what happened those years. I was All-American one year, and then I was just broken to pieces for the rest. And so I think there's a nature to like catching that talent and saying, hey, we're not going to race in practice. And also the diversity of OAC, they're all in Boulder, right? But they're racing for Spain and Australia and America and several other countries, and you're just like, okay, and yeah, New Zealand. So it's like, hey guys, we can all work together. You're curious how it scales. These teams tend to like people like bees to honey, you know, like when something's hot, you end up with like the Bowerman women only have two women right now, I think three, they just added someone, but they at times had like over a dozen, and that's like everyone, and you'd be like, who's gonna race the 5K, like, and it becomes like just kind of you start pushing athletes around. So it's interesting to think about. There's no one right way.
How about you, Mike? You have another choice.
I want to look at, see what Hobbs Kessler is gonna do, because he just got his road mile record taken away from him in Germany, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him afterwards. I tried to, but I don't know if he got held up in like if there was drug testing or whatever, or if he wasn't feeling well. But he didn't look happy coming across the finish line. He ran a pretty good time. I think it was pretty close to his previous record time. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back from that. And that was like 2 weeks ago, so there's a little bit of a time. So it was enough time for some tweaks and some progression in the season. But he may have a chip on his shoulder. I don't know.
It's interesting. I think the sponsorship side is, you know, part of the reason I'm making the comparison, but like when I think about him, I can't also think about Drew Hunter and then like vice versa. Whenever I think about Drew Hunter, I then think about Hobbs Kessler. Like, it's like, again, not that like they have a rivalry per se, but I view them in such the same lights. Like, all right, like these people who didn't like go through the normal college system, roughly the same age, same skill set, same sponsor. Like in my head, they are just like conjoined.
Huh.
Interesting. I've never thought of them similarly like that before.
I can see they're similar path like that. Hobbs is still super young, and I can't wait to see. I mean, you're all, I feel like we're going to have to resist the urge to talk about the men's and women's 1500 endlessly for the next 2 months, because I'm super excited. That's the one day I'm definitely going down for in Eugene. I don't know who else is going to be out here, but it's going to be it's always an exciting, both those races, super exciting. Yeah.
And in my head, Drew Hunter's always the same age. Like, I don't think he is the same age as Hobbs Kessler, but in my mind, he just never ages. You know what I mean? Like, he's always, like, for me, he's always 23 years old. So I actually don't know his actual age at this point. I just remember, like, his high school highlights. So, like, he lives on in my mind at, like, in this one age band.
This is what I mean, the head and the heart. Like, you got to be, you're like, oh, young Drew Hunter, who's now married and has two kids. Like, maybe we should,
we should lean into his youth. Yeah, dude's coaching his kid's high school team, bro. What do you mean?
I would love to see a Hobbs Kessler stride coming off that final.
I heard he was actually mentoring Centrowitz.
That might be true.
All right. So do we go through everybody?
I mean, no, but I think, oh, you mean, did we all pick someone? I thought you meant like all the athletes.
Did we cover every athlete that's going to be at
16 down, 1,000 to go.
I feel like we should do our best to spread the spotlight around over the next couple weeks or months, so that listeners, because I feel like I could go into the summer a little bit better informed. I'm sure members of this team could school me on things I'm totally ignorant to about either the international scene in the sprints particularly and field, or even just make sure we come into the summer having highlighted the American fields. We're not going to be
have an idea.
Super geeks about
it. Got it. Yeah. Peter wants to talk about sprinting. We get it. Okay.
We should, but Peter.
I want to hear about sprinting.
We should each come in with like two athletes that we aren't hearing people talk about that we want to like educate our listeners on and share about. We should do that.
Uncut gems every week.
We got to come in.
Remember when I picked Paige Stoner and everyone's like, she's pregnant. Like,
literally had a baby like a day ago.
For sprints, I'm like, what about? And I hesitate to even say names because people are going to be like, you know, it's famous that their hamstring blew up yesterday. And you're like, I forgot.
Okay, so last week I wrapped us up with recommending an article or a podcast or a song or something. And so I think we should wrap up with that again. Ooh. So what have you read, listened to, or enjoyed this week, big or small, that you recommend to the listener?
I'll go with that. I'm probably not the only person in the world who's been listening to more of Kendrick Lamar in the past week. Because I'm like, wait a second. This is a stone that I turned a while ago and flip it over again.
I was so uncomfortable trying to explain that to I felt like I was explaining it to Lindsay only.
You were. And then I had my group text of my runner girlfriends were all texting me about it. They were like cracking up. They were like, listening? When Tommy said, Lindsay, you need to get better friends.
Just get rid of all your friends, for real. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm really excited about. What I listened to that I really liked was Jenny Simpson podcasts. Anytime you can listen to an interview with Jenny Simpson, you should do it. So our friend Lindsay Hine interviewed her recently. She's also been around the scene, you know, post-marathons and everything. I think she is one of, if not the smartest runners out there. I love the way she talks about things. I just love how her mind works. Any interview with Jenny Simpson for me is evergreen content. I can listen to it all day long. Huh. I love it. Every time they come out, I will then re-listen to old episodes if I'm on a long run. I don't have anything current on my podcast list. I think she is the best, and I recommend all podcast episodes she's ever been on.
No, and by the way, I'm dropping a podcast tomorrow with her on it. That's Matt's next line.
Hey, I didn't know that. All right.
No, I'm talking about you. That's your next line.
Oh, no, I was excited for you.
Any podcast that she's on, you have to listen to
it. I never know when the Running Sleep Show is coming out with another podcast. It's so me random.
Neither.
I was just like,
oh!
A week and once in a month. I never know, but it's always a banger.
It literally
could
be every other week, or it could be once every quarter.
There you go. So anyway, Jenny Simpson podcast, most recent one with her friend Lindsay Hine, but all of them are fantastic.
Yeah, Jenny's great. She, I was sad though, that episode at the very end, I had to leave to pick up Sandy and I thought Glenn was going to be able to pick him up. So like I asked her one last question and her answer was really long and I had to like almost cut it off and then like just basically be like, bye sprint. Cause I had to text the teacher and be like, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. I'm already past the 10-minute window, and now I'm going to be 10 minutes past that window. Because I think we had like 10 more minutes in us to talk. But yeah, Jenny's amazing. She's always so like well thought out with her answers too. Like she's actually fully there and caring about how the conversation is. I'm going to go with, I just read the book The Whispers by Ashley Audrain, and not running related at all, but her books are always like a little bit trippy and have a lot of things that relate to mental health and motherhood. And I just think that her books are really fun and good. So not super fun. I shouldn't say fun. They're kind of deep. But anyway, The Whispers by Ashley Audrain. She's also the author of the book The Push, which is really good. So that's mine. Who's next?
I'm not really into anything productive right now.
What do you have like a song that you've been like playing on repeat or?
I've been listening to a lot of Giveon and Kendrick. They not like or not like us. So that one song, and then which is a very polar opposite of like what Giveon sings, but that's my thing right lately.
How about you, Peter?
Peter's been really into Tracksmith polos lately.
This you're all what's got you wrinkled there, Tommy?
Is it velvet?
Oh yeah, If you
is
know
it?
It.
Is it velvet? It looks velvet.
Is it felt?
It is velvety. It's velvety. I don't run in it.
You are wearing a velvet Tracksmith collared shirt right now.
I come to Relay Pod ready to rumble. I was not joking about listening to more Kendrick recently.
Does he have matching pants too with it?
Oh man, I wish. Oh well.
The velvet man. Boxers, $56 on Tracksmith.com.
If that were the real price, that wouldn't be a bad price. Oh no, $56
for some velvet Tracksmith boxers. I mean,
can I tell you the most intense thing that happened to me the last week? I had to fly down to go to a friend's stepmother's memorial, and I packed in the morning and went down to it, and then the next day I was getting dressed, and as I pulled on my slacks, let's just say the higher they got on my legs, the more concerned I got, and then I realized I had packed my wife's suit pants.
Nice.
Yes. Oh.
This was concerning because it was going to be warm in the Bay Area, so I only packed shorts. And I was like, I mean, honoring a person's life, you can wear whatever, but like, if you do not want to be the center of attention. So
what did you
this mean? This is how concerning it. Well, I'm fortunate I was able to close the clasp at the top. Things were tight. Let's just say things were tight enough that I was like, you know what? I'm at the risk of calling attention to myself. I am not going to tuck in my shirt because I just am like out here strutting in some tight, tight pants.
You wore the pants?
I wore the pants. They had such a flare at the bottom, and they were so short that people were walking around
Bro looked like Ron Burgundy. Random.
No, this is Michael Scott in The Office where he has like the woman's suit.
And people are like, oh, I like your socks. Peter, I like your socks because my socks, let's just say they were on full display.
Oh. Oh my gosh, that is
velvet,
hilarious.
Velvet
did the pants have actual
too?
Pockets or were they just sewn? They just looked like they had pockets? They were
this is
pockets,
the worst
or?
Part, Mike. Oh, this is one of the worst parts. This is one of many. I was just like, I'm going to be here and I'm going to be respectful. And then like in the middle of one of the speeches towards the end, my cell phone goes rocketing out of the like mini pocket and just crashes on the wood floor. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
That's why you have to put it in your clutch.
Yeah. That's how you, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Absolutely. That would have been better.
You are fortunate that you could even fit them though. Like there's no way my husband could fit my pants. There's just no way. So
yeah, I would love to see Glenn in capris at a funeral.
I would love that. It's a whole thing.
Speaking of Ron Burgundy, though, did you anybody watch the Tom Brady roast?
Okay,
because
that
Ron
is
Burgundy
classic.
Was my favorite
that,
roaster.
I just saw the highlights.
That's a classic. There's some people on there that were so cringy that I had to like fast forward through. Rob Gronkowski was one of them that I had to just go skip through. What's the other? The actor that was up there. He
Ben
was
Affleck.
Like, Ben Affleck. I had
Affleck
to scroll
was,
through.
No
I
one
didn't
was
see
like, what he was talking about.
Yeah,
I didn't
know
watch the whole
about.
Thing yet.
Who
Kim
else?
Kardashian oh, was cringy.
But she was good though. Randy Moss, I had to because he was very upset about the fact that he doesn't.
My
have
favorite room. Rumor about Kim Kardashian was like, someone was like, why was she there? Why was she roasting him? She didn't seem that into it. Maybe they're dating. And maybe, like,
well, there was a big thing that people thought they were dating at a point. So it'd be funny to have her come up there and dispel
gotcha.
Them. You know,
oh,
I just didn't think she was just like reading everything. Like I know a lot of them they had their notes.
They all read, but it's just
they do.
Read,
but
yeah.
Like she had she did not take her eyes off that prompter at all. She was so I'm like, you could have memorized a little bit. You could have put some effort into this. But Ron Burgundy was who was your
Ron
best?
Ron Burgundy was great. My favorite was either Nikki, what's her name?
Glazer.
Nikki Glazer.
Glazer.
Nikki Glazer. Or who else was really good? The guy who came from out of the crowd. What's his name? He has
a
podcast.
Wow. Yeah, he's a podcaster.
Yeah, he's a podcaster. He did really good.
I didn't see.
He's the one that gave Dana White 60 seconds.
Like he gave Dana White 60 seconds to roast. That was just good. It was nice, and I liked that the coach. Actually, the coach did good. What's his name?
Yeah, the coach was good. Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. He did a good job. He did a good job.
So I missed some of these people because I've watched it twice now, like while I go to bed and I fall asleep and then I try to pick back up. So I've like missed some people. I did not see Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck. Don't. It's fine. Just skip it.
We had a funny interaction at dinner the other night where my wife was saying sort of like, I don't go on social media that much. I'm just like not into getting dragged down those negative, you know, rabbit holes. And then I was like, yeah, but Julia, you're acting like holier than thou. Like, I knew about the Tom Brady roast because of social media. And then I queued up like the best clips because I'd seen about them on social media. So like, you're sort of riding. I'm down in these rabbit holes of darkness. And you're like, yeah. Oh, I'm above it all.
I would rewatch Ron Burgundy. Now I want to go watch Anchorman.
He was great.
It was so good. Like, he was like,
if Anchorman 3 or whatever's coming out, this is a perfect segue to what we're doing.
Lindsay, I listened to a podcast with Julian Edelman where they were discussing what it was like behind the scenes. And they were saying that, you know, Ron Burgundy, he has his script. And then they were able to see when the teleprompter's not moving, it's just Ron, you know, it's just Will Ferrell, like, just riffing, just doing what he does best. And so they were like, like, they knew he would be good because his script would be good. But then they're like, damn, like, he's also like quite good at playing that character.
The blushing and, oh, so, so, so good. All right, we got to wrap. Did everybody give a little tidbit of something that they've been into recently?
Yeah, I think Mike just left.
I'm left. Here. Mike, my camera went out and I'm too lazy to fix it.
What do you have to suggest, Mike?
Well, I don't. It's going to be hard to follow up after all that because mine's about running. And
good.
Like, I know. No one wants to talk really about running now.
We're 90 minutes in.
What do you have a show or a podcast or something? And
well, we've all been talking about how we want to be told more about sprints. And I got a chance, speaking of the trip to Jamaica, Peter, I got a chance to meet Anderson of Sidious Mag while I was down there. Great guy. He's like an encyclopedia of knowledge, and he's been doing some great reporting on the state of the sprints going into this kind of Olympic build. So go check him out at Sidious Mag. Okay. He's been doing a great job.
Awesome. Love
nice
that.
Guy. Very nice guy.
Yeah, I know. I like the Sidious guys enough that I'm kind of like, the moment I go down certain storylines, I'm like, I should just give a citation here.
Yeah.
I should just point down here because like they're going to break it down in a much more like methodical way. We just need to come in with the crazy storylines and the hot takes.
All right. Sounds good. Everybody, awesome. Thank you so much for listening. We're 80 minutes deep. If you're still with us, you're diehard. Also, if you're still 80 minutes into this episode, that means you love running. So go check out likethewindmagazine.com/relay for the best long form running content in the world. Also, it helps out our podcast. So we really appreciate it. So everybody, thank you so much for listening and happy running.